1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to begin reading at verse 6, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. Lord, speak to us, speak to us. It says in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. That word will become important to us later. But not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, now I always love to think what it would be like to hear something like this for the very first time. And I'm hoping so much someone is here or someone is there listening to this scripture that has a brand new life verse and philosophy of life. It says this, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Now that right there deserves a really good amen. Amen. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived what God has planned for those who love him. And it says something in verse 10. I've heard that verse a number of times, but I can remember the first time I ever locked in on what came immediately after it because it is of utmost importance to us. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. How has he revealed it?
By spirit.
Say it again.
By spirit.
By a spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Would anybody just be willing to understand something that God has so willingly given us? What if we could receive a fresh understanding of what God was doing in our lives and what he had partitioned for us in this season of our lives? What would happen if we got some fresh understanding? Verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are, and here are two key words for this entire series, spiritually discerned, because they are spiritually discerned. Everybody say spiritually discerned.
Spiritually discerned.
Say it one more time way down here. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself, notice it doesn't say about all people. About all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And then one of the most revolutionary statements we will ever see in all of Scripture. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, that for every single one of us who has received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and this is something you could do today, you could do it in the next 5 minutes. This is not something that takes a year. This is something you can do this very day. When we trust Christ Jesus as our personal Savior, and we receive the grace gift of the cross and the power of the resurrection, in that moment, so for all of us, to whom Christ Jesus is Savior, in the moment that we believed and that we made that confession of faith, his Holy Spirit took up residency in us. We did not necessarily feel a thing. We could have gone on just like we had been in the last 48 hours. We did not feel any different physically than we did. Maybe it would take days to really come to an understanding of what Christ had started to do in us in that moment. But we are told it is a spiritual fact that in that moment, the Spirit of Christ takes up residency in us. And we have something huge that has overtaken us. The Holy Spirit literally lives in our vessel. Now, here's what I've come to tell you over the weeks that we have ahead. We only touch the tip of the iceberg of what the Holy Spirit would do in us and through us if we would let him. That we don't just have the power to act. What I want to discuss with you over the weeks to come is that we have the power to know things that human thinking cannot reason. We have the ability through the Spirit of Christ and the activated mind of Christ in us to know what we could not possibly know in human terms. So often, we don't do the thing because we don't know what the thing is. Am I speaking to anybody? That to have the knowledge to somehow be able to know what is impossible for the human rationale to wrap around. This is what we see as a promise in Scripture. It tells us in that ninth verse, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him, verse 10, but He has revealed it to us by His Spirit. That's the same word for which we get a revelation in the last book of the Bible, apokalypto in the Greek language, and it means to have something that is hidden, unveiled, something that is somehow revealed in very often a progressive kind of revelation before our very eyes, something of the Spirit to take off the cover, to disclose to us. And I want you to just see with me for a few minutes what we could have if we were willing to walk in cooperation with what God wants to do. If we would really just engage in this thing, what would the Holy Spirit be capable of doing in regular people, regular flesh and blood, folks like us, living the life, going to work every day, doing the thing at home, and all our human relationships? What would happen if the Holy Spirit truly overtook us? What would happen? What is He capable of doing? Because what we're going to be studying over the weeks to come is this thing we call spiritual discernment. Are we able to spiritually discern? If we were, what would it look like? How do we know when God is trying to tell us something that is not black and white? Because I don't know about you, but I live in a whole lot of gray. Anybody else? I mean, there are a whole lot of black and white things in the Scriptures. But we get into life, and a whole lot of it is that very dull, very undoing color of gray. And we really don't know what to do because we don't know what's up. And maybe we could. Maybe God would begin to work through His Holy Spirit in such a way within us that the very mind of Christ would be activated in us and we would know what could not be otherwise known. That's what I'm presenting to you in this series. Acts chapter 11, verse 12, Peter said something to this effect. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. That the Holy Spirit had told Peter, do not hesitate to go forward with this group of people. I mean, like, how did he know that? He didn't say that Christ spoke verbally and audibly from the heavens to him. He said, the Spirit told me to have no hesitation. How did he know that? I don't think he heard the heavens split open and a voice fall from the skies. I believe he was spiritually discerning it. Go without hesitation. How would we know that when it happened? Another place, Acts 15, 28 says this. It's the apostles writing to a new group of Gentile Christians. And they say these words, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. How did they know it seemed good to the Holy Spirit? Because somehow they were walking with Christ in such a way that they could discern the pleasure of the Spirit. Would anybody else like that but me? Listen, if God's capable of doing it, I want it. I want it. I want it. So if this is possible, if I could know in many instances, not in every, we don't have the kind of knowledge, we don't possess all knowledge, but we could know a whole lot more than we do. Anybody besides me, I'll even just ask for a hand if there's anybody that just wants to show one. Could anybody but me just stand to be smarter than they are? Anybody? Just could stand to know something that you don't. Anybody could stand a little supernatural wisdom of the activated mind of Christ in them. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. I love it when it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Sometimes things seem good to me, but I come to the end of the rope and feel and realize that it did not feel good, obviously, to the Holy Spirit. Acts 16, 6 and 7, look at these words. So it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. I'm not positive about this, but in a lot of the verses that if we were able to line them up against one another, a lot of times when it was an audible voice coming from Christ himself from the heavenlies or somehow through a vision to them or a dream of some kind, it would say Christ. The fact that we're being told it was the Holy Spirit of Christ instead of just Christ himself, and we know it is his spirit, but I'm saying is the intonation of this, that this is the discernment of the Holy Spirit coming from inside their hearts that this is not right. We're not supposed to go here. Something is up here, and we're not supposed to move forward into this place at this time. Verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. And so it says, then they passed on and went to the next place. All right, what kind of Holy Spirit is it that honestly we could begin toward a certain area of employment? We could be on the verge of starting some area of ministry in this part of the city or this part of the state or this part of the world. How blessed would we be if the Holy Spirit was activated enough in us, we were walking yielded enough to the authority of Christ that honestly, when we came to a crossroad, we would know whether to go to the right or to the left. Could anybody stand that kind of knowledge besides me? I want some direction. I need some direction. I want to do the God thing. I don't know about you, but I don't know when the last time was you just came to the reality that this thing is going fast. I mean, just fast. I mean, when you just glance in the mirror and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, like, whoa, when did that happen? And I'm saying this to you young things, it does happen just that quickly. We were you yesterday. We were you. And now we're us. And I don't want that to scare you, but when you get to be my age, you're really going for quality of life, and Jesus is your quality. And here's what I want to say to you. We don't have time to just be wandering around in the desert. We want to get on to God's will. We want to be doing the God thing. I don't want to be wasting time just walking in circles out in a wilderness. I want to get on with God. Look at one another and say, get on with God. But if we're going to get on with him, we got to know where we're going. And the Holy Spirit is capable of telling us that. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 7 through 9, it says this. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. This is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits, but I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, verse 9, because a great door of effective work has been opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Okay, wait just a second, because something here looks like an oxymoron. Would anybody agree with that? I mean, a great door has opened for me. So he knows he's supposed to be there. Paul knows that that door has been opened by the Holy Spirit for him. He said, a great and effectual door has been opened unto me, one of the versions says. But then he says, but there are many who oppose me. Now, wouldn't we immediately, when we're not walking in the spirit that Paul is talking about, wouldn't we immediately assume if there's that much opposition, that cannot be the will of God? Anybody? I mean, wouldn't you just assume that, okay, that kind of opposition, isn't that what must have happened before that time in Acts chapter 16? Surely they came upon opposition. They went, you know what? We're not supposed to be here. This is a news flash for us in Scripture. Opposition does not mean you are not heading exactly the place God wants you to be. It's not going to be because of a lack of opposition. Opposition can be something that arises because we are flat dead on to the will of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can anybody step in that with me? I mean, it can be that you're getting opposition because you are doing exactly what God has called you to do. How would you know the difference? It will be spiritually discerned. No eye has ever seen. No ear has ever heard. No mind has ever conceived what God has planned for those who love him, but it is revealed by his Spirit. We can't just make assumptions based on the quality of the life around us and the acceptance of our peers that this must be where we're supposed to operate. It could be right there that God goes, you know what? This isn't my will for you. And we want to move on with the anointing of God. We never want to get in a place where we think, you know, this is just where I'm going to stay for the rest of my life. Listen, when God's anointing moves on, we want to go with it. I got to know. We don't get to see a cloudy pillar anymore. There's no fire by night anymore. Now the Holy Spirit that went in front of them and all those manifestations has overtaken us. We are now the manifestation of the work of God in this time element. We are it. Girlfriend, you are the cloudy pillar. Guy friend, you are the fire by night. I have to remember my guy friends because there's some of them right here in this room. And I know there are some on the other side of that screen. We got to know. We're it. We're what He wants to fire up. We're what He wants to lead. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So much of our healing, when you and I have been through the devastations that just living for any length of time on planet Earth will invariably bring. It won't be being able to see with human eyes that will bring us the kind of restoration we need. In order to be restored, we need perception. We need to perceive more than we'd be able to gaze upon with our human eyes. We need understanding, not just hearing. That's where our healing will come from. That's where our hearts will be turned and we'll know that there is something so much greater than anything we could touch or feel on this planet in the natural realm. I just think continually, Lord, if I would cooperate with You, what would You really show me? If I would really give You an ear to unstop, what would You do? What would You do? I have a really good friend back in the Houston area who is a chiropractor, and I had never been to a chiropractor before, and I had gotten to know her, and it's just its own kind of approach, and so I've been so intrigued by her and by the way she sees things from a spinal point of view. Everything comes from that same reference point, and so I was telling her one day. She said, "You sound stopped up." I said, "I am getting the worst cold," and she said, "You want me to help you out with that?" I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And so first of all, she took something. I don't know what. It kind of smelled like a little mentholish, I guess, like a liquid Vicks vapor rub of some kind. And she presses it on my sinuses. But what she did next, I could not have been ready for. She then takes her hands and she pulls my ears. And when she pulls them, I can hear them unfolding like an accordion. I mean, it's like, whoa. Whoa, what? I said, "What did you do?" I mean, I need you to know, I felt like my ears were sticking out a foot from each side. All day I was completely aware. When I went and got back in the car, it was like I had to open the car door like this and scoot in like this. And then, you know, you just like leave the window down so your ear can stick out. Every conversation I had from that point on all day long, I wanted to say to them, I had to resist it, but I wanted to say, "You're staring at my ears, aren't you?" I mean, I just kept pulling my hair over. I've never, but you know what? I could hear. When He gives us ears to hear, what would He tell us? I want you to jot down another address and then we'll get on with our series, Psalm 19:12. Jot that down. Psalm 19:12. The psalmist David asks a very important question that will become extremely vital to us in our present series. He says this: "Who can discern His errors?" Who can discern His errors? Not just know them, discern them. Who can discern His errors? Listen carefully. This is what I've come to tell you. If you have the Holy Spirit of the living Christ dwelling in you, empowering you, and you have access to the completed canon of the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, I'll tell you who can discern her errors. You can. I'll tell you who can discern His errors. You can. We can actually discern our errors. We can make a judgment about something, walk away from it, and think, "You know what? I'm getting a check in my spirit. I'm going to check in. Something's wrong there. Something's wrong." Or we can pass up an opportunity and think later, as we're just sitting before the Lord and as we're just hashing the thing out, "You know what? I think I'm supposed to call them back. I do think I'm supposed to do that. To be able to discern the plan of God and the next move for our lives through His Spirit. Who can discern her errors? His errors? We can. We can. I wonder how many of us can look back over the course of our lives and think, you know, only God could have told me to do that. Before we look at the times that we have done the wrong thing and missed the discernment or missed the warning, before we do that, I want you to just think back on the course of your life about the times you got it right and you know good and well you could not possibly have known that. Where you were more shocked than the other person was because you thought, I promise you that wasn't me. How did you know that? I have absolutely no idea. You know it's happened. You know it's happened. Times when you knew to make that move. Times when you felt like that you were just like tossing it up. You were nearly mentally throwing the dice. And then you realized later, no, I was not. The Holy Spirit made that choice for me. That was the right choice. That was the right move. And I didn't even have the human rationale to put that together. Times we got it right. But what about the times we did not listen to it? You know, a lesson learned is a lesson learned, even if you learn it the hard way. And sometimes a lesson sticks with us all the better and all the longer if we learned it a very difficult way. Because I blew it recently. I blew it. And I'm telling you what God began to teach me. I've looked back over the course of it and I thought to myself, you know what? He allowed me that very walk so that I would turn around, study this out, and bring this message. I'm positive of it. I'm positive of it. I don't have a really terrible track record of a blown discernment. I have a bad track record in a lot of other ways. But I can't tell you that there are a whole lot of times I've just outrightly been duped. But the times that I have been whoppers. Can anyone go there with me? I mean, big ones. I mean, like for that moment, for that time, season-altering kinds of discernment and that missing link, that moment that you were supposed to catch it and didn't. They have been monumental for me. And about a year ago, I received a package in the mail that had a letter of great interest. Someone in my office handed it to me and said, Beth, I know that you get a lot of things put in your hands, and I know that you try to get to them all as fast as you can, but you're going to need to let this one go to the top of the list because you are going to love this. And sure enough, I did. In fact, I did wait until I was through that present conference. I put it in my bag, took it with me, got to the end of the conference, was at the airport ready to come back when I began to see this whole story unfold. A woman had written me a letter, and there was a book in the package as well, and then there was a decision card from one of our Living Proof Live events. And in the letter, she says, I am a Holocaust survivor. And she's in her 70s, and she goes on to tell me her story. And she said that a book had been written about her life, and that was the book that she had included in the package. And she said all of what she had been through, and it was a dramatic, dramatic story, as you might imagine. And not only the obvious of surviving the Holocaust, she had gone in when she was 3 years old and come out when she was 8 years old and did not even know her name until she tracked it down through other resources later. It was the most fascinating story you've ever heard. And not only that, then she had gone on to have a husband and a son only to lose both of them in the course of the decades that transpired. And so at this point, she's telling me in the letter, she said, I've included the decision card that I had at your recent event because there I received Christ as my personal Savior. And I couldn't even fathom what she was telling me. I thought, how can this be? And as a matter of fact, I was looking back on that event and I thought, you know, that's that event where I cannot remember anyone coming forward. You know, so much of what we do is discipleship, but I give a clear invitation every single time, but I must be the worst evangelist ever, ever. Because so often, my friends that do this kind of thing, they're just like, people will come in droves. And it's just like, it's just for whatever reason, not what God has given me in that moment that He wants to bless with that kind of abundance. And somebody's going to write me and say, only the Holy Spirit can do that. I know that. I'm really just teasing with you. But it was one of those times I thought, are you telling me that out of all of that group, God set his eyes on that one woman, that one Jewish woman, and he brought her to faith in Christ. It was unbelievable. And she said, I'm coming to an event, and she told me in about a month, and she said, I would love it if while I am there, you would baptize me. Well, some of you are going to smile with me when I tell you this. Others are going to think, well, that's the most preposterous thing I've ever heard. But I come from a very, very conservative denomination, and I promise you that I'm not really going to get the blessing to go baptize anybody. It's just not, I would really cause a lot of people to stumble in the area that I come from, denominationally speaking. And so that was out of the question. But I did get a good friend who is an ordained minister to go with me. I cannot tell you what all we put together so that we could be at this event and afterwards spend all this time with her and then in a service, in a small church, baptize her. And I did indeed go into the water with her, got my own feet wet in those waters, put on a robe. We take the whole thing. It was a wonderful day. And I told her after that, I said, listen, I want you to know in advance. In fact, I told her this right after I read all the material and talked to her on the phone. I said, I would never exploit you. This will be between us. I said, I will not be telling the group at the event that you are there. She goes, oh, please, by all means do. By all means do tell them. I want them to know. This is a very exciting time for me. So I did exactly that. Not only that, I told her story in a couple of very large surroundings and read excerpts from her life story out of the book. Some weeks went by, and I was walking into my house after eating dinner with Keith out that night. That's how we eat dinner. And I know he's listening. I know he just said that. That's why I wanted to beat him to it. I'm listening to you, honey. I'm listening to you. And so I got a text, kind of got a ping on my iPhone from my assistant, who at that time of night normally would not be contacting me about a work item. I mean, she's just a precious young woman who's very much about boundaries, and every now and then she might say, I just want you to remember this for tomorrow. But it was just a time of night that normally she would not have been texting me. And I looked down at my phone, and she said, she very often calls me ma'am. That's just kind of a thing where she comes from. And she said, ma'am, she said, I have some news, and I feel free to tell you this part of the name because it was the name that was in the book. She said, I have some news about Hannah, and you'd have to understand, on an iPhone, it can kind of be tricky to text because it's just a touch screen. And she said, I've got something to tell you about Hannah, and it's knit good. She meant to write not good, but she wrote N-I-T good. Knit good. Knit good. And I looked at that and thought, knit good, is it? Knit good. And so I knew immediately. I stopped on my back porch, texted back. I said, it's not true, is it? She said, no, it is not. I want to tell you why I'm bringing you this message. And while we're talking about spiritual discernment, because I knew it. I knew it. I knew it wasn't. Everything in me jumped over it, only I could not put my finger on it. And there was a book, and it was down there in facts on a page. Everything seemed, every duck seemed to be in a row. But something in me, over and over, I thought to myself, and I asked myself this question, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And you would doubt this kind of thing. Who in the world, this is what I said, who in the world would lie about something like that? Well, she would. And she's not the only one. There are big talk show hosts that have now come back to tell us that so-and-so that appeared on their program with this big, huge story, maybe this big, huge book, huge testimony, had made up the entire thing. And she had done exactly that. To the point that she had told a historian the whole story, had gotten so many of the dates right on the occupations of forces and the Allied troops going in to free that camp. I don't know how she might have known. I'd written it in a couple of Bible studies that my father had been among those Allied soldiers that had gone in to free that exact camp. And see, so I got all tied up in the fact that my father was part of her liberation. Is this making any sense to anybody? Only for it to turn out to be a complete lie. Now, I knew it in my spiritual gut. That's what we're going to be talking about in the weeks to come. How to know when to go with our gut. When the Holy Spirit is telling us something, we're thinking in the natural realm, you know what? This really seems to add up. But something feels wrong in here. Something's up. Something's up. Or maybe something feels right. I think this is what I'm supposed to do. Doesn't make a lot of sense financially. It doesn't make a lot of sense logistically. But I do think this is the will of God. This is the next step for my life. When to know? To go with your gut. And I just wonder how many of you have been punked? Anybody? Betrayed? Misled? Taken advantage of? Taken for a fool? Duped? Flat out lied to? Looked back on something you swallowed whole and think, what an idiot. When was the last time you believed something you shouldn't have? Or you accepted something or welcomed something that you terribly regretted that bit you on the back of the neck so hard you still feel shamed by it? What was it? When was the last time you just had that feeling inside you could not shake, but you could not quite define it? When was the last time? Whole lot of life we've already established is black and white. But then we get into that gray zone, and it is in that gray zone where you and I have the biggest capacity to get sideswiped. In Paul's words to Timothy, we come into an age of seduction. Seducing spirits, he said. What that means is we got our regular warfare. We got opposition, which is a normal part of the experience in the realm for believers. But then we've got oppression. That's when the enemy somehow is in it now, where we can sense something. We can have warfare, but we can know it. But every now and then there comes a time of seduction when we just did not see it coming. It just was not black and white. It was not clear to us. Now, somebody is going to be thinking right about now on the other side of that screen. You know, I can see, Beth, where you would need it, but I really can't see where spiritual discernment comes into play in my own life. I mean, like, you definitely shouldn't believe things that people tell you like that and then go broadcast them only to find that it's a lie. I can see it with your life, but I'm not sure I get it with mine, and I would beg to differ. Can you imagine how much it could be the salvation of marriages? My man always comes with me on these tapings. There's been something, again, when we're talking about how did we know? It's not something he does the rest of the time. But we knew that for this place, for these tapings, he was supposed to come and provide a physical covering. He always prays for me over the phone for the rest of the events on the calendar. But God told us early on, when I say that, how did we know? We somehow knew it in our spiritual gut. This is what I'm talking about. So he always comes with me, and he would be able to attest to the fact that some years ago in the business that he was in for so long, I got a strange feeling about a woman, a strange feeling. And I said, listen, I really feel like, he knows I'm not just the big jealous type. I said, I really want you to be aware. I said, I think that you are going to have a very subtle advance come to you. And he knew it did not mean money. And I just want you, I want you to be on the lookout. He comes back the next day and says to me, it happened exactly that way. And he said, I want you to know, Beth. He said, I had no idea she even felt that way. No idea. Came and told him she was going to be leaving the workplace because of her feelings. And he acted like I had no idea what she was talking about. And he said, I just told her, I said, well, you know, have a good life. We're glad you stopped by. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, glad you came. Glad you're going. And he said, she walked out the door and he shut the door. Oh, that was it. That was it. How did I know? I don't know how to explain it. Now, listen, we could get all wiggy here and like we could manipulate everybody we know. But it wouldn't have been the Spirit had it not come out exactly that way. Then it would have just been imagination. It just would have been jealousy. It just would have been suspicion. But it wasn't. It was God. It was God. And he placed a warning on us. The salvation of our marriages. Certainly it could be the salvation of our churches. If we began in our churches to operate with spiritual discernment, can you imagine the difference? protection and all sorts of relational entanglements. It could keep us from taking up employment, where even if we went, I'm not trying to make something mystical out of it, but if we went and interviewed and we thought, you know, something is creepy here. Something just feels creepy here. You know what? Don't go to work there. Don't go to work there. The Word of God tells us that in the latter days, there will be greater deception. Now, I want to tell you something. All of us would say, all of us have heard this phrase, that this is the information age. We live in the laptop age. I can get all of my information that I need off of my phone. I can check my emails. I can get on the internet. I can find where the nearest Starbucks is. I can do all of these things straight from the apps on my telephone. We live in the information age. The information age presumes a deception age. The more information, the more deception, because there's just more potential to do it. And every realm of social networking, you got opportunity, you got blogs, you got people taking up entire identities that are not true because they can pose it, they can become someone online that they never dreamed of being otherwise. I'm not saying everybody does it. I'm saying it's happening. And everyone I talk to has a story about somehow being duped on a blog, on a Facebook account, on something that turned out to be so different than it seemed. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin to close up this first half of our two-part series in 2 Timothy 3. Anybody think they could use any of these kinds of lessons? I need to know what I cannot, with my human thinking, begin to know. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, see, here's the thing. We don't want it to get where all the freedom of speech is removed or we lose our freedom too. We can't just have it all policed because that's where we'll lose our ability to speak the truth of the gospel of Christ's own salvation. So there's got to be another way to get around it, and that way is to be discerning, to be discerning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me show you something about it. This is the wildest chapter. It begins to tell us about perilous times in the last of days. In the latter days, there will be perilous times. But unlike Matthew chapter 24, that tells us about the ecological disasters and environmental disasters and circumstantial disasters, earthquakes, famines, all sorts of things that will erupt in the last of days, the witness of Christ going into every nation and people group. This particular chapter tells it from a sociological point of view. What will be perilous about the latter days, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, is people. People will be this. It starts by saying they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. And those are just verses 1 and 2. Without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sound familiar to anybody? Sound like the days that we live in? Well, drop down now, and I want you to look at verses 12 and 13 of the same chapter. 12 and 13. In Paul's letter to Timothy, he says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Verse 13, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. I want you to get your darling little pen out if you have one. You can get out a pen that's not darling if you can find one. And I want you to underline that verse if you mark in your Bibles, because it tells us exactly what we're talking about here, how to combat what we're up against, because it says, you will see that evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. If we have ever in our lives needed discernment of the Spirit, we need it now. Because we live in the age of deception. We are living in the age of the poser. And we got to know what's true, what's authentic, and what's not. We got to operate past the things that we can see with our human eyes into what the Holy Spirit is telling us and what we're going to call our spiritual gut. What is He saying to you? Is he warning you? Or is he saying, move in without hesitation, go with these people? Or is he saying, you back off and run for your ever-loving life? What is the Holy Spirit telling you? I want you to read on before we conclude this part. I want you to see what it says next. Many of you know some of the verses coming up, but I want you to see them in this context. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, when we're talking about spiritual discernment, it's important for us to understand that we're talking about something that we're going to operate in most accurately. Remember, we're in the gray zone now, where it's black and white. Go with black and white. Sometimes he says flat out, you don't need to pray about this. Flee from sexual immorality. I mean, he just goes, flee from it. You don't have to think like, okay, now this is gray. Oh, no, it's not gray. It's really not gray. I mean, am I supposed to work? Am I supposed to be an exotic dancer? Like, no. No, that's not gray. I'm praying this. No, that's not gray. I'm not making fun. Listen, we all have all sorts of temptations, all sorts of pasts, and all sorts of histories. But I'm just telling you, some things we can just go, that's black or white. Do I need a church that teaches the Scriptures? I don't have to pray through. Now, they never do open their Bible, but I'm trying to think, God may have us here for... No, God does not have you there for... Move. Move. Unless you're the pastor. If you are, start teaching the Scriptures. I mean, some things, you don't have to pray about them. Like, they're either go or stay. It's just like, I don't know. I just don't really feel the same way about my husband as I used to. I wonder if, no, you're staying. You know what I'm saying? Some things are just like black and white. But this one, this is in the gray zone here. And what we're going to find out is that we will most accurately discern the Holy Spirit when we have an operating knowledge of God's Word. I'm not saying we have to know the basic foundation of every book, all 66 books of the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I'm saying the more we get to know God through His Word, the more we're going to be accurate when it comes to matters of spiritual discernment. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will never work contrary to God's Word. It was God-breathed. He will always be congruent. Always. It will always line up. So we got to know God's Word, because sometimes we're going to go, you know, well, I'm feeling that because this is what the Scripture says, and that's not what we were doing. I mean, that's the best way to do it. But here's what I want to say. And you know, the first time I ever taught this, I left this out. And I'm so glad. This has been something God's been working in my heart. I'm so glad He brought it back to my remembrance this time. If you have no background in God's Word, but you still have a feeling in your spirit, if you received Christ some time ago, but you've just never grown up in Him, in the Word of God, and you're thinking, then I can forget it where spiritual discernment is concerned. Listen, you may still, because His Holy Spirit is in you, He may still check you on something. You might still get a feeling. So I'm not saying that it never applies to you. I am saying this. Go to someone you know who does have a working knowledge of the Scriptures. And ask them, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I think that God's telling me through His Spirit, through the indwelling Spirit. Do you think that I'm right here? And begin to get to know God through His Word. But even until then, is He telling you something you need to respond to? Can you find out from someone, is it congruent with the Word of God? What is it He is telling us? I need to be smarter than I am. I need to be wise about matters in this age of the poser. Listen, if you have a teenager in your home, you need spiritual discernment. Amen. If you're a teacher, a friend, a relative, neighbor, there's so much going on that we cannot see. The Holy Spirit can make known to us, can reveal to us, disclose to us what our human eyes would never see. If He can do it, I want it. I want it. That's what this series is about. Let's pray together. Father, we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus to work this work even as we study it together. That even today, Father, in something that you're doing, would you just show us, God, that we really can hear you. That when you have a mind to speak, Lord, you are perfectly capable of letting us know. In matters, Father, where it's got to be right or it's got to be left. It's got to be this way or it's got to be that way. You really do have specific will in mind for us. Tell us, God. Show us what we need to see. Give us ears to hear what we need to understand. Open our spiritual eyes and enlighten us. In the mighty and miraculous name of Jesus, amen.